Glory to Jesus Christ. Since we are in the fourth week of the Philip's Fast, I took the opportunity to reflect yet on another rule of life that was given to us at the beginning of this fasting season. As St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Philippians, it is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. So with boldness, I take up his words and I will reflect on the rule of confession. I know that Father and I mention this topic often in our homilies, and sometimes it seems like we talk about it constantly. That's okay. There's a reason for it. The topic of confession has many branches that need to be addressed, and they need to be understood correctly by us and by the faithful. As we all know and can agree that the confession is a crucial part of Christian life, we can also say that without repentance, which should be done daily, if not hourly, there is no true confession. If there is no sadness, if there is no hurt or guilty feeling, or this gut-wrenching feeling that we have, that we want to do is bury our faces to the ground because of our shame, because we have transgressed the laws of the one who loves us and is merciful to us, then there is no true repentance. We have to mature into this feeling. And we can mature real quickly, instantly, like did St. Mary of Egypt. She could not even enter the church when she realized of her sinfulness. And her conscience became so sharp that the repentance came like a flood and did not stop until her last breath. A person who goes to confession, repents daily, knows that feeling. That Christian is full of joy. What do you think I will say about a Christian who comes once a year for confession? I would dare to say that a Christian who comes to confession only once a year is a dead Christian. Yes, I know. The church teaches us that it's sufficient to come once a year, and it's okay to be like that, stay at that level. I can't argue with that. But what church really means by this rule, this very basic rule, is that if you come only once a year for confession, you just get to call yourself a Christian. A Christian who is dead on the inside, whose conscience is dull, dead, and deaf, whose soil within their heart is rock hard and is unable to receive any of the commandments from God. That Christian is a salt which had lost its flavor. Let me give you another image. When we die, we will be standing at the fearful and judgment seat of Christ. And standing with us will be, or rather next to us, will be our conscience. And we have to think of this conscience as an unmerciful prosecutor who has against us every unconfessed sin. I do not remember which saint said it, but he continued that there is only one way we can defend against this unmerciful conscience. And this defense is by very frequent repentance and confession. And what happens during confession? God takes the list of our sins that the conscience has on us, and He crosses out the sins that we have confessed or truly forgotten. The unconfessed sins that were missed by negligence or shamefulness are not confessed. Then the cycle repeats. But the more frequent the repentance and confession, the sharper your conscience become. When the conscience is sharp or is getting sharper, we become more sensitive to sin. We become cautious of our doings, of our judgments, and of our thoughts. We have, on the average, about 6,200 thoughts a day. Are they all good? Are they all pleasing to God? When we sin again, we know that we have sinned, and we become restless until confession. And here's the good part. When we are still living, the conscience is our good friend. The conscience is a good friend who warns us of every sin that we have done. And that conscience wants us to get to heaven. He is our helper. So how do we sharpen our conscience? For sure it is with the confession, but even if we went once a month or twice a week, it would not be sharp enough for us to be aware of our sins completely. So when we do our evening prayers from our publican prayer book, we get to a certain point where we have to examine our conscience for that day. You are being asked questions, and it seems like it's a communication or conversation, one-on-one. This is the longest portion of these evening prayers, because we should go hour by hour examining every action, every thought that we have done. If there are good thoughts and deeds, give thanks and assign those things to God. If sinful deeds and thoughts come up, write them down to your dedicated notebook. When the time for confession comes, take your notebook with you and read out all the sins you have done. Then throw away the sheet and start over. This is done to make sure that no sin is unconfessed. It is easier to confess the sins that are written on a piece of paper because you can't forget them, and there is this certain anxiety which won't allow you not to say those sins. It is like your guardian angel is poking you, says, just say it. Become free. When the sins are said by memory, there is always this danger that you will forget few. The demon will cloud your mind at that moment, and you forget your sins. He doesn't want to give you up. So don't give him this opportunity. Then the results of a frequent confession comes. At first, you will feel sad, depressed, and for sure, very ashamed, because you don't want your priest to know what you have done. That's stage one. Everyone goes through it. Don't despair. Take courage in your confession, because something greater is coming. Each Christian will go through this first stage, and that stage will repeat when we realize that we are so weak that we can't get rid of our sins. But then there is also a second stage where we find joy. Joy from realizing that certain sins are becoming weaker because of our change of lifestyle. Because we simply and stubbornly said to certain things no, and then replaced them with spiritual works like reading the writings of the fathers or just simply a prayer. Jesus' prayer, prayer from the publican book, or attending liturgies. Then you become alive. The conscience is sharp, and the soil of the heart becomes soft and moldable and ready to receive each commandment with joy. We have to think of every sin as poison. Poison which deadens the body, the soul, and the conscience. Throw away your pride and this basic upkeep of church rules. If we want to call ourselves a Christian, then we have to start living a deeper life in Christ. And if we not, then there is no point coming to church just to feel good. Don't despair. Don't be saddened or discouraged. We must start our own ascent towards our salvation. If we strengthen this little portion from the rule of life that was given to us, then we are on the right path. And joy and eternal salvation will be awaiting us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.
And Father,